This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Good afternoon. We greet you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. And many of you have been listening week after week, and so we thank you for that. And so Pastor Don and I, we have been on this radio program. We were just talking about that a few minutes ago. It's soon going to be 22 years here in this area on the radio. So we thank you for all of you that's listening. Some of you have listened all these years. And so we're honored to be here with you. We've called this program a lot of years, Raising the Standard, and that's what the purpose of the program is that everyone, if you believe in Jesus Christ, we need to have the standard raised in our life, to come to a new place, to trust Him in what we're doing, to know the purpose that we have on this earth. And the main thing is to walk with the Lord, have our sins forgiven, we know that, but to share it with other people, that they have an opportunity to be in the kingdom of God in the future. So we're honored to be here. Hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1. Pastor Donnie, you got a few things you want to share that open up?
Well, I know Roscoe and Audrey are listening. Say hello to them. And
on Ambrose
Judy,
Island.
Perhaps I spoke with Daryl and Judy this morning,
the
so
Carolinas.
They may be listening as well. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so we just want to bless you and thank the Lord that we can be on this radio broadcast every Saturday as long as the Lord would have us to be here. So we want to bless you all and say Shabbat Shalom. This is
That's
the Sabbath.
Right.
Amen. We're happy to be here on the Sabbath, and Saturday is the Sabbath. So I also want to mention that we do have Sabbath service this afternoon at 2 o'clock. If anyone would like to come, it's at the Alliance Church in Stuart, Florida on 445 Southeast Osceola Street. And that's right near the hospital, the North Hospital in downtown Stuart.
Amen.
Amen. Want to mention also that we want to thank those that have been helping us out with
Absolutely.
The financing of this radio broadcast, because it costs us,
$165 a week.
$165 for an hour. And
yeah.
So it's just a blessing that you are able to help us to do that. And if there's more that would like to help, we gladly receive that for the radio broadcast. Amen. I will give the telephone number here in a minute. And if you'd like to mail a check or an offering to Spirit of Prophecy, that would be Post Office Box 413 in Stuart, Florida, 34995. So zip code. And our phone number here is area code 772-285-7007.
That's right. 285-7007. We're 007 agents, aren't we?
007.
You know, you heard us talk a lot about Roscoe and Audrey Walks on Andros Island in the Bahamas. And we're so honored to be a part of them. They're part of us. And we've been talking about that roof. And they're close with the amount of money that needs to come in. So if you're led today to give them something to help get that roof done before the real rainy season comes, just when you make out a check, send it to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries to the address that Donna mentioned, Post Office Box 413, Stuart, Florida. And the zip is 34995. And mark on the check for Andros Island. And we'll make sure if they have all that money given to them, okay? So we say hello to them, and we trust that God will bless them with all that they're doing as well. So we're here again on another Saturday. We've been talking about here today. We've estimated it's what, the 42nd day of counting the Omer. So next weekend we're going to be past that point in time. So there's a lot of things that happened because of that. Way back in the beginning, we know, and here we are. We're getting ready to come up again on Pentecost, and it'll be a wonderful time to look at and understand the things that God wanted to do. It brought a whole new dispensation, didn't it, from Acts chapter 2. On Acts 2:1, that date was being fulfilled. Think about it. They did it out in the wilderness 1,500 years before from Mount Sinai in Exodus chapter 19. And then he waited 1,500 years. They rehearsed it every single year, and then it became the real thing. Amen? So we're honored to be here with you. So we're going to talk about some of the manifestations that came because of what Jesus did when he came to this earth. Now, I got some notes here I've had over the years, and we talked last week about the falling out in the spirit on the floor. It's happened over and over. I've had it happen many, many times, and I don't know why I wind up on the floor. I just can't stand up, okay? And then there's some things called shaking and jerking or trembling that happens with people. We have groaning and travailing. We have deep bowing, heavy weeping and crying. All these things. Think about this. Laughing. Boy, we people make fun about people laughing in church and all. Hey, if God moves upon you, and that's a really laughter's medicine to the bones. Amen. And then we have being still or solemn. Donna might talk about this one today. Being drunk, they call it, in the spirit. Not on alcohol, but on the Holy Ghost. Amen. Having visions and dreams. Speaking in tongues. Sudden loud sounds. And prophetic acts that God does, and they're there for our purpose. And he works on every individual a different way, doesn't he? So I was thinking today a little bit about this shaking, jerking, or trembling that we see. And I had some notes here from years ago. When the Holy Spirit begins to touch people, some respond by shaking, jerking, or even trembling. Such seemed to be the response of the men around Jeremiah and Daniel and Habakkuk. The psalmist suggested the people of God should tremble in his presence, as did God suggest when he spake to Jeremiah in chapter 5, verse 22. And we're going to look at a few of these. But I'm just thinking about this. You know, Don and I, we've seen so many things in different meetings we've been in with people. And I can just think of a couple in particular. We had a dear brother that later was a youth minister with us. And he had a terrible situation in a denominational church, and he lost his position and all because he took the youth group to a meeting, and the kids all got filled with the Holy Ghost. Yeah. So they kicked him out. It was incredible what happened. And so one day, Don and I was talking. I said, I don't know him. I never met him, but I'm going to call him. So I called him, began to talk with him, and he was so upset. He said, I'll never get involved with the church again. I'm done. This is it. And I said, now, come on. You can't say that. God's got a call in your life. And so I kept talking to him. And the following Sunday, Don and I look up on that Sunday morning, and this young couple comes in with two kids. And I told Don, I says, I bet this is the fellow I was talking to on the phone. And it was. And he came up. We called him up front after the teaching and all that, laid hands on him. He fell out in the spirit, which we talked about last week. And you know what he did on the floor? He was shaking and trembling. He turned so red, you'd think he was about ready to bleed everywhere. He was just shaking and trembling. And the word that God gave him was, it's not your fault. You're not guilty. And it was amazing what happened with him. Well, then about 2 weeks later, we had an evangelist from CI, our covering, Christian International Ministries, came to our church and that Sunday, and he called this fellow out again, prayed over him, boom, right on the floor, and he was really shaken this time, and he told him the same thing we had given him prophetically, and you know, you have two or three witnesses, it's a real thing. And he told him, he says, you're not guilty. You haven't done anything wrong. And so it was amazing how he shook. And one other thing I thought about, we had a woman one time come to our church. Remember, she was hitchhiking, and she came into the church and sat during the meeting, and at the end we prayed for her, and she got touched, fell out in the spirit again on the floor, and she started writhing on the floor like a snake.
Deliverance.
And shaking all over the place. It was incredible what happened with her. And so she got set free that morning while she was there. And so, you know, people sitting back looking might say, well, gee, That's not that can't be God. Hey, God works in unusual and strange ways, and only he knows what's going on in somebody's heart. We don't. And so people go sometimes, and we mentioned this last week, instead of just observing and seeing what God's doing, they're suspicious about what God's doing. You know, we have to trust God, don't we? And if it's not of God, God will take care of it. We know that. And so we want to remember that with all of us that we're talking about. And so that was one thing. So I was going to look up a few scriptures with you, and maybe there'll be another topic. So I want to go to Psalms 99:1. And we're going to see some things about the shaking and the trembling that God has. Psalms 99:1 says this, "The Lord reigneth, let the people what? Tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims, let the earth be moved." And then I had Psalm 114, I think I wrote down here one time. Let's look at this one, another good one. 114, verse 7. Look at this. "Tremble thou earth at the presence of the Lord." Do you ever feel like, I've sensed that. You sit in a meeting and you can just sense this trembling coming, sitting there with the Lord. "Tremble thou earth at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob." I mean, it's amazing. Now, the one thing that really caught my eye was Jeremiah chapter 5. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 5. What happened with Jeremiah? Tell you. Whoa. And I believe it's in verse 22, if I wrote this down right. Yeah, look what this says. Well, let's read verse 20, starting there. "Declare this in the house of Jacob and publish it in Judah, saying, Hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not." We don't want to be in that place, do we? Now he says, "Fear ye not me, saith the Lord. Will ye not tremble at my presence?" Hear that? "Will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by perpetual decree, that it cannot pass it, that it cannot pass it. And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail. Though they yet roar, yet can they not pass over it. But this people hath a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone." They were defiant, weren't they? So this is a very key verse as well. Now the other one I want to go to, and then I'm going to look at some. I want to go to the book of Habakkuk. Let's go to the little book of Habakkuk. I can find it real quicker. I was going to put a marker in here today, and I didn't do it. Here it is. Habakkuk chapter 3. Okay. And I'm going to read verse 16. Oh, this is a good one. I thought I might back up a little bit here, too. Let's start in verse 14 of chapter 3. "Thou didst strike through with his staves the head of his villages. They came out as a whirlwind to scatter me. Their rejoicing was asked to devour the poor secretly. Thou didst walk through the sea with thine horses, through the heap of great waters. Then I heard my belly," listen to this, "when I heard my belly," what? "Tremble." Remember John, the book of Revelation? He trembled when the word was given to him too. When the word was spoken, he was going to come back and do work and prophesy in those days. "My lips quivered," hear this, "at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself, and that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops." Isn't that amazing when you think about it? So those are just a few of the examples. Well, I don't worry. Let's go to one of the New Testament. I want to go to Acts 9 real quick. Go to the book of Acts. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Acts 9, I believe it's verse 6 if I wrote it down right. Yeah, this was when Paul was on his way, road to Damascus. I'm going to start in verse 4. Let's read this. When the Spirit of God touched him, it says he fell to the earth. Here's someone falling out in the realm of the Spirit, like we talked about last week, and heard a voice saying unto him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And he trembled, listen to this, and he trembling and astonished said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And the Lord said unto him, "Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." Can you imagine how much trembling and shaking he must have had when he saw the presence of the Lord? And that's just one of these examples of the manifestations of the Spirit of God. So, I thought about this. I wrote this down one time. We've been more comfortable watching, shaking and trembling. How? On a dance floor.
Oh, boy.
Don't you see it in the world today? Yeah, and they had no problem with that, you know, or a nightclub. But then they question about the power of God in the church when he wants to manifest and move. Did you ever see someone just jump out of their seat and start dancing? I have. In fact, we heard a testimony one time of a fellow how he got saved. He was in a spirit-filled church, and there was a lady up front. I guess she was in her late 80s. And when the minister got done ministering the word, and he had people come out, he was praying in front of them. She jumped out of her seat and started running around the church. And when she ran around three or four times, she just fell on the floor. And so she laid there for a while. The minister finally got her up off the floor and talked to her, and she explained what had happened to her inside. And this drew this man to God, knowing that what happened with her was only about God and nobody else. We were in another meeting one time with a well-known evangelist, and it was on for pastors and a leadership meeting. And while he was teaching, a pastor got up, jumped up, and started running around the room. And remember that, Donna? He must have run around the room five or six times and finally just ran into the wall, hit the wall, and just slid down like a wet piece of spaghetti and laid on the floor, and he was out of it. So who did that? Did he just do that to be doing that? No, God moved on him, and we don't know what God was doing inside, but God does know. And so he works in different ways with different people. We have to remember that. And you know, we tell people when we pray for them, if they don't fall out in the spirit, God can touch them standing up, you know. But when God's there and God's moving, something's going to give, and it's not going to be him. He's asking, you know, he's asking you to receive. And so when we pray for people, a lot of people start praying. I says, no, don't pray. You know, a two-way radio, you can't talk and receive at the same time. Just be quiet, receive, and boom, boy, they get it, you know. And so that's what God wants us to know. He does some strange things, and we have to remember that. You know, we mentioned that event last week of the woman that Larry Lambert and I tried to get off the floor or the ground in a tent meeting. We could not lift her off of the floor because of the power of God that was resting on her. And I didn't tell the rest of the story, but she finally got up, and she barely could walk. Remember that, Pastor Don? And she was dragging one leg, and they drug her out to the car, and Larry and Lane took her home. And when they got home, Lane says, well, she can't get in bed. He said, well, you take her clothes, get off, and get her ready for bed. So she finally went to bed, and when she got up the next morning, she was pretty much back to normal. But think how long that lasted. But, you know, when she came down, she was so hungry for God, she knew she was not going to be denied, and she wasn't. And so it was amazing what God did. So he knows what your hunger is. He knows what the desire is. And he does. He does some unusual things to bring people to that place to know that it's real. We mentioned a couple of weeks ago, didn't we, Pastor Don, about when I finally realized that tongues was really real. For a while, I was never raised in church, so I didn't know what it was all about. And I mentioned it, and I might mention it again before we go on. And this lady was sitting right in front of us at our church in Fort Lauderdale. She brought more people to our congregation over the years than anybody that was there. I mean, she was bringing people all the time. They were getting saved. So one night in an evening meeting, someone on the other side of the room stood up and had a message in tongues. And then a lady over in the middle section got up, and she interpreted that of what was said. The lady was sitting in front of us quietly, word for word, exactly what the woman in the middle of the church was interpreting what was being said. I'd punch down. I says, this is real. I want it. I want it. Amen. And so then we went on a hunger, and we were so desperate that God was not going to deny us. And so we finally received it in an unusual way, you know. And I tried to stop it and all that. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. But see, God's on the move, and if you'll just yield to him, as I said before, he'll give it to you if he can get it through you. And we have to yield. Amen. All right. Someone else has got some things to share. Maybe some things in your own personal life that's happened, you know. I could go on with a few more.
Amen. Praise God. Well, we have two lovely ladies with us.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Would one of you like to share something about manifestations? Okay, Melody.
Well, actually, Pastor Gene, I'd just kind of like to play off what you just said, that God will give it to us so he can work through us.
That's right.
Amen. I like that. I like that. So listeners, if you have your Bibles, if you don't, I ask you to go get them. And also grab maybe some paper and pen, because I know we have a lot of notes probably to be taken, a lot of scripture that you'll probably want to write down. Let's turn to open our Bibles to John chapter 14, verses 15 through 26.
Okay. John 14. We're on our way. All right.
Okay.
Got it. Starting what? Verse 15?
Yes.
All right. We're
Pastor
with
Gene,
you.
Can you read down to verse 20?
Okay. Verse 15. Jesus, this is Yeshua speaking. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I and my Father, and I'll say it again. And at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you.
Amen.
Amen. And Marge, can you pick up, please, on verse 21 to 26?
Yes.
Thank you.
He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him.
Yes, Lord.
Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us?
There's our word, huh?
And that's not right. Unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me.
Hallelujah.
These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you.
Unto you. And listeners, as you're listening, we're into part two of the manifestations. And I'd like you to look, thank you all for reading. I'd like you to focus on a couple words here. One is love. Yes. And the next one, our key word is what, Marge? What's our key word today?
Manifest.
Manifest, right. Okay. Right. So I want you to know that love in the scripture is written a number of times in the Bible. And do
sure
you know
is.
How many times that love is written in the Bible? Do you all know?
I never looked it up. I bet it's a lot.
Well, what do you think?
Oh, wow.
Probably
wow.
Several hundred, probably.
Well, you're good. You're all getting close. Guess what? I bet our listeners probably know. 310 times love
right.
is written in the Bible. So it's important. And 131 times in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
And 179 in the New Testament.
Wow.
How
wonderful.
About that? Okay. Love in Hebrew. I want to go to the biblical perspective of love. And we know kind of what our culture is about love, what we know about that. But let's look biblically, Pastor Gene, what love is. And I take it into the Hebrew. Mm-hmm. Okay. Love is a special meaning. Love in Hebrew is, does anybody know? Ahava.
Yes. Ahava.
You see, you all knew that. And it comes from three basic Hebrew letters. The three letters are broken down into two parts. And the two-letter base, or root, the first letter is Aleph, which precedes these two letters. And the meaning of Ahava, does anyone know? Is to give. The process of giving develops a connection between the giver and the receiver. Mm-hmm. Ahava is something a little bit, it's totally different. Ahava's meaning to give. So in Luke chapter 6, verse 38 reads, give and it will be given to you.
Yes.
A good measure pressed down, shaken together and running
over
will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use it, it will be measured to you.
It's good.
It is. And true love is true ahava. It's, Marge, it's a selfish type of love. It's to give. It's the connection, the love and the giving we just talked about. It's also the character of God we find in John 3:16.
That's right.
What does John 16 tell us?
To give is to love, right?
To love.
That's what we're talking about.
God so loved the world that he gave.
He gave.
His only begotten Son.
Yes. And then in John 13:34, excuse me, a new command I give you is to love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And I love this one. I love this one, Pastor Donna. Jeremiah 31, verses 3 through 4. Mm-hmm. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you with loving kindness.
That's good.
Again, I will build you and you will be rebuilt, O virgin of Israel.
That's good, boy.
And a couple different forms of love real quick. I just kind of want to kind of brush through real quick. Abraham had ahava for his son Isaac.
Yep.
What type of love do you think that would be? Parental love.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Jonathan showed ahava for his friend David. What type of love would that
be? Brotherly love.
Yes. Wonderful, Pastor Jim. Brotherly love. A group of people could have ahava for their leader. Like when the Israelites showed their love, ahava for King David. How about that?
Yeah.
How about that? So, and also we have in the Bible the Shema. Mm-hmm. What is a beautiful example of ahava, the Shema. And it begins with, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is his name, his glorious kingdom is forever and ever." And you find that in Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9. Pastor Donna, can you read that, please? I've got right here, if you wanted to read that.
This part?
Uh-huh.
Okay. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your might. These words that I command you today shall be upon your heart. Repeat them to your children and talk about them when you sit in your home and when you walk in the street, when you lie down and when you rise up. Hold fast to them as a sign upon your hand and let them be as reminders before your eyes. Write them on the doorpost of your home and at your gates."
That's the ahava. Yeah. That's the love that he's speaking about. And our key word again is manifestation. And we'll bring it back to the place of, he says that in verse 21, that he will manifest himself to us. He says, "I'll manifest myself to him."
Yeah.
Now, in order, here's a little condition. Here's a condition. Okay, what is it? He that has my commandments and keepeth them. Okay, he that loveth me, the ahava, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And what will he do if we do that? I will love him and will manifest myself to him.
Mm-hmm. It'll be revealed, won't it?
It's going to be revealed, but here's what we have to do. We have to love and obey his commandments.
That's right.
So he can manifest himself into us. And as holding on to that word, manifest, I'd like to go into Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. While you're looking, I'll just go ahead and read it real quick.
Okay.
"That I may know him," this is Paul, "and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death." And that's one thing I just want to play off. I kind of want to land with this, the resurrected power, because I believe not only our listeners need to hear that, we need to hear that also. Is that for today? Absolutely.
Sure.
And we can walk in that resurrected power. We are not defeated at all, but we can have that power. And where do you think in the Bible that we see this resurrected power, that Yeshua, Jesus, is also resurrecting someone? Where do we see that? It's going to take place in John.
Lazarus?
Yes, good. Yes,
call him out of the tomb,
That's right. John chapter 11, verses 39 through 44. And let's go there real quick. Let's see, John 39.
Lazarus was dead for 4 days, wasn't he?
Yes, okay. And while you're doing that, I kind of want to back up a little bit to John chapter 11 while you're looking at that. I think it was 17 through 27. This is kind of the backdrop to that. That when Jesus came, he found that he had laid in the grave 4 days
already.
Right. "Now in Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. Many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them."
It's about 2 miles,
That's right. "Concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Yeshua in Hebrew, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever will thy ask of God, God will give thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection the last day. Now, listeners, I want you to really come and pay attention to this one, verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall live. And whosoever liveth, believeth in me, shall never die. Believest thou this? And she said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which shall come into the world. And she said so, and she went away and called Mary her sister secretly. The master's come, call it for thee. So I'll say, so what does it require of us? He's telling us, believe. You've got to believe, to believe on that. To believe on that. And what I kind of want to wrap up, because I know Pastor Donna and Marge, they have something that we want to really hear. I know they have a word for us today. So I want to kind of just bring this home, Pastor Gene, is that why does all this matter to us? And taking it home as a personal application, what does this mean personally to me? And I think more important is when we read the Word of God, it has an application for us, yes. And that is today. So let's just kind of start unpacking this a little bit for the moment. The resurrecting power is for us today.
Absolutely.
Because it affects not today, but every day of our life. Because we can live forgiven lives. And every person bears the consequence of sin, from brokenness, shame, guilt, because sin destroys. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death.
That's right.
But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Yes.
The resurrection means I can be set free, unchained from the bondage of sin, and delivered from its power. What power? The resurrected power. It's the power that raised Jesus from the dead. Yeah. It is the power that raised Lazarus from the dead. The first word spoken from Christ was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And Christ has lived and he's died and he rose again in the resurrected power so that we can be forgiven.
Yes.
And the resurrecting power is the yoke-destroying, burden-removing power that raised Yeshua. And his blood on the cross was shed for us.
Yes.
And it says in Hebrews, so I want you to know this, in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12, for I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more.
That's right.
And in Psalms 103:12, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. So I just don't want to talk to us, also to the listeners, Pastor Gene, because I believe that there's a listener, someone's listening today that may be holding on to a past sin.
That's right.
And the enemy will try to bring it up over and over and over again. But here we just had from the Word of God that as far as from the east to the west, so has he removed our transgressions from us. And he forgives us and he remembers the sin
no more. Never, he forgets it.
So with the resurrected power, Pastor Gene, you can be set free from that.
That's right.
You can be set free of the sin that still weighs you down.
Absolutely.
Yes. Amen. And also the resurrected power, it transforms our lives, Marge. We can live each day empowered by the presence of God manifested through the resurrection power. It not only sets us free, it can change and transform our lives, brothers and sisters. Amen? We are changed not only by human strength, but by the power of the risen Lord. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
And in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20,
I am
crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who lived in me and gave himself for me, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead.
Yes.
The resurrecting power that was manifested that raised Jesus from the dead is the same resurrection power that lives in us today, Mark.
Amen.
It lives in us today. We have to believe it. We have to receive it.
That's it.
Because it can transform our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And people that were living in the bondage of sickness, of disease, of maybe just sin, we can be set free today.
Amen.
We can be totally set free, because there was a scripture in that, I am been set free, See, who has set this way? The son free has been set free.
Free indeed.
Has been, yeah, set free indeed. I have that scripture. But anyway, so what I'm saying is today is the day. Today is the day. We can walk in the resurrected power. How do we activate that? First of all, we got to believe. We got to believe what the word said is true. We have to receive. And then we have to walk it out. We have to walk it out.
That's right.
And it says, and in 1 Peter, I want to wrap this and end this with this, Pastor Donna, in chapter 1, verse 3, it reads, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy
yes.
has begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Hope means Jesus is the Lord of our todays and our tomorrows.
That's right.
The risen Lord is coming again in power and yes, glory that we can have that expectant hope that one day we will be with him forever. Yes, it's that resurrected power that is manifested in our lives today matters because we are now forgiven. We are transformed. We can live a life of not only victory, but expectant hope that one day we will be with him in his glory. Amen.
Amen.
And I want to leave you with this. Living, he loves us. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming. Oh, glorious day. Amen. Oh, glorious day.
Hallelujah. Glorious day. Amen.
Amen.
Amen to that. Praise
Thank you,
God.
Lord.
Well, you know, there's so much in this John chapter 11 about Lazarus, you know, and when he first saw Martha, you know, she really believed he was the Christ. She said that. It says that right here in the scriptures. You know, she said, "Yea, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." So she believed who he was. And then we go over a little further, and then she's later on, she says, when he talks about taking away the stone, she says he's going to stink. You know? So, you know, it's like she believed, yet there was still some doubt, I guess you would say some doubt, because she's saying, you know, he's going to stink. You take away the stone, you know? But, you know, Jesus had, and, you know, in there, that chapter also, it says that Jesus wept. He wept because of what? Because of their unbelief. I believe that's the shortest verse in the Bible, isn't it? And he wept because of their unbelief. So it's all this believing, like you said, is so important because we do come across difficult times in our lives. And sometimes things look like they might be, you know, impossible. I'm going to have Margie share in a few minutes. But looks like things might be impossible. But we have to believe, like you said. But Jesus wept, and it says here, and it goes on and says, you know, I like what it says here. He tells him, he says, take away the stone. But Martha, the sister of him that died, she said, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead for 4 days. Here's the 4 days. So he had to wait those 4 days to bring forth this miracle. He had to wait a certain time to bring this forth. You know, he could have gone right away when Lazarus was sick. He knew, but he had to wait. He was teaching them a lesson.
Yes.
And then verse 40 said, Jesus said, said I unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, here's what you're talking about, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Amen?
Amen.
If you believe, you'll see the glory of God. And they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, now why did he have to say this out loud? God knows everything, doesn't he?
Yes.
But he said this because the people yes. needed to hear it.
For the people.
That's right. Yeshua said, Father, thank thee that thou hast heard me. See, God hears our prayers, doesn't he?
Sure does.
And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried out, with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And what does Lazarus do? He comes walking out of that sepulchre, I guess it's
and
called.
All the grave clothes began to unravel around
him. Off his face.
That's right.
Grave clothes sure, all wrapped up. Yeah. Now, can you imagine what kind of a sight that must have been
sure.
for all those people to see that? You know, Lazarus had to die again.
Twice.
Didn't he?
Twice, yeah.
He had to die twice. But he came forth, and I don't, it doesn't, the Bible doesn't say how much longer he lived, but they loosed, and Jesus said, loose him. In other words, unwrap those grave cloths. He's not dead anymore. He is alive. He's alive. So I think that's showing us a picture of God is going to bring back the dead at some time when Yeshua comes back. It says the dead in Christ will rise first. And we who are alive and remain will be caught up with them in the sky.
That's a major manifestation, huh?
And that is a major manifestation. That's the glory of God.
Amen.
It says, then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, they believed on him. They believed on Yeshua. So that was a great miracle.
I think about the time that tells us that when the temple guards came to get Jesus in the garden.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, Peter took out a sword, cut off Malchus, which was the high priest's servant's ear, and Jesus picked it up and put it back on and healed it instantly. What a manifestation that was.
Yes.
Everyone should have been, I mean, they should all got saved when they saw that, you know?
And I'm going to read the next two verses. But some of them went their way to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. See, people were still coming against him. Aren't people still coming against Yeshua,
yes, absolutely.
Against Jesus?
Sure.
And it says, then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees and a council and said, this is what they said, what do we, for this man doeth many miracles. Miracles are manifestations.
Glory
the glory of God. Well, Miss Margie, what do you have to share?
Well, praise the Lord. I was thinking about just what you said, that people are coming against the Lord even now, and they will until the time that he comes for his people. People will still be coming against him. I'd like to also talk about the manifestation of the Holy Spirit and salvation and being born again. Each Christian has God's gift of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, each Christian has spiritual power. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that, Miss Melanie. The Lord would like us to exercise this gift.
Absolutely.
And you might ask, how do you become a Christian? And it's by being born again. And so I'd like to explain what a Christian is. I looked that up in case there just might be somebody here, one or two people or more, that this might be their first time listening.
That's right.
So I'd like to talk about being born again.
You know, Margie, that's an interesting point, because I've met a lot of denominational people over the years. And I ask them if they're born. They have no clue what it means to be born again.
They don't know.
Here they are, you know. And so they need to know the truth to it.
Yes. And I was raised in a denominational church, and I never knew. I went all my childhood and never knew about coming to the Lord and being saved. So I want to share this with everybody. What is a Christian? It's a real disciple of Christ, one who believes in the truth, the Word.
Good.
Of God, and studies to follow his example, Yeshua's example, and obey the precepts and commandments of Christ. So if we go to John 3, which we've talked about John 3, Miss Melanie has.
John, you always forget about verse 17, though. Maybe she'll read that one, too.
I will do that. Yes, John 3, 3 through 7.
Okay.
Thank you, Father. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit, is spirit. And verse 16 I'd like to read, which if everybody would like to, maybe you at home would like to, you already know this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, anyone, believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And verse 17.
This is a good one.
For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world.
But to save the world, didn't he?
But that the world through him might be saved.
That's right.
Amen.
That was his purpose, yep.
The other scripture is in Romans. Romans 10.
Okay.
And 9 and 10.
Those are two good verses, too.
That if thou... excuse me.
It's all right.
If...
you got it. Go ahead.
If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead,
yes, Lord,
thou shalt be saved. And verse 10, for with the heart man believeth
heart faith,
unto
Lord.
Righteousness,
yes.
And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
That's a good one, Margie.
When you are born again, the Holy Spirit moves in, like someone moving into their house. He moves in and dwells in us. And there's a scripture in Revelation 3 verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door,
yes,
and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. Amen. The manifestation is the Spirit of God in us. In 1 Peter, I think Melanie had that one too. 1 Peter 1, verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed,
yes,
but of incorruptible.
Thank you, Lord.
By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. It's not for a season, it's forever.
Hallelujah.
The Holy Spirit gives us the unction to read the Word of God. And I was thinking about the manifestation. He gives that to us when we come to him. Because before we're born, we don't think about opening the Bible and reading it. We don't know to do that. We don't think to know how much God loves us and how to obey. So
right.
It's the Holy Spirit,
amen,
that does that.
That's true.
And if do I still have time, Pastor Don?
Yeah, go ahead.
In 1 John, if I might, 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. And this backs up the unction. But ye have the unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Read the Word of God. Thus we begin to live and abide in God's Word, learning His precepts, statutes, and commandments. In 1 Peter...
We're transformed by the renewing of our minds, aren't we?
Yes, we go from the old... To the new.
That's right.
His way, his perfect way. In 1 Peter 1, verses 21 and 22. Who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God.
Yes.
Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart.
There you go.
Fervently. And in, if I still have time, 2 Corinthians, if we still have a little time. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh. I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature.
Not a creation, but a creature.
A creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The old way, the worldly way of living is removing, as we allow the Word and the Holy Spirit to change our heart and teaches and prepares us for kingdom living.
It's good. You know what I was thinking about with all this? You know, we have a couple of scriptures in the book of John that tell you some interesting things. And, you know, we don't have everything, do we, that Jesus did or anything in all different ways.
Yes.
But the... In John chapter 20, verse 30, it says this, and many other signs, these are manifestations, truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written, what? In this book. And then we go over to the last chapter of John, chapter 21, verse 25. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen.
Amen.
All the manifestations that he did. We only have a small number of them, but it's enough to make us believe and trust, right?
Yes.
We have to walk by faith, don't we?
There are tons of manifestations.
There sure are.
There are lots and lots of them.
Yes.
And we could go on and on,
yes.
But you know, we're counting. You mentioned counting the Omer at the
yes.
beginning of the program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I want to mention our phone number before we go off the air. And I also want to mention that we do have Shabbat this afternoon at 2 o'clock at the Alliance Church in Stuart, Florida, at 445 Southeast Osceola Street. And I want to mention here, I was in Acts chapter 4.
Okay.
And we talked about, you know, they came against the disciples. And we talked about this time of counting the Omer. It's up to 50 days, which will bring us to Shavuot, or we call it Pentecost, which will be next week. And so we're getting close to that time now. And what is counting the Omer? A lot of people would say, what is that? Well, those were the 40 days, during the 40 days that Jesus was alive after his death. He resurrected, went to the Father, came back to the earth, and spent 40 days with his disciples. And then he gave them, and teaching them, and showing signs and wonders and miracles.
And then he left them for 10 days.
And then he told them to wait.
Yeah.
He told them to wait and to tarry in Jerusalem. And
yeah.
they knew Pentecost was coming. They knew there was only 10 more days to go. And so they were obedient, and they stayed there in Jerusalem and waited those extra 10 days. And so they were all together in one accord in that upper room.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, many of the disciples had done miracles, signs and wonders and miracles, and the Jewish people were coming against them because they had done those things. They were trying to shut their mouth and keep them quiet.
Yes.
But when that 10th day came, you know, there was nothing that could stop them. And so many Christians are maybe around family. Maybe the family doesn't want to hear about Jesus. And maybe they believe, or maybe they're a different denomination, but they don't want to hear. So, you know, so many people are just, don't say much.
That's right.
Don't talk about the signs and the wonders and the miracles that Yeshua has given us.
Done away with, yeah.
Right. And so they came to that, and next week I'm sure we'll talk about more manifestations. But when they were actually in that upper room that 10th day, which would have been the 50th day, I'm just going to read it here. It says, I would love to read a lot more of it, but I would suggest you go and read chapter 4 in the book of Acts. And it says here, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken. Mm-hmm. Now that's a manifestation.
That's right.
The place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled. It says all
not
filled,
some, but all.
With what? With the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the manifestation of the power of God. And so, and they spake with the words of God with boldness. So the Holy Ghost brings that boldness, mm-hmm. and that you can speak the wonderful works of God, and you can do these wonderful miracles. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart. See, they were in agreement.
All agreement.
And one soul, and neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, and they had all things common. So this great power that came upon them caused them to move in the manifestations and the power of God. And the love that you were talking about, Melody, that the love that you were talking about, that because the love is the giving, and God gave the Holy Ghost. He gave us, the Father and the Son gave the Holy Ghost, that we might have this boldness and to walk in these signs and wonders and miracles, and to believe what the Word of God says and all the demonstrations that God did. Well, this is Pastor Jean and Donna Hilton. We're just blessed to
She's
be here.
Right.
And we thank the Lord for all of you listening. I thank the Lord for our guests. And we just want to give you, we want to bless you. You have one thing to say, Pastor Jean? Did you bring the shofar, Marcy?
Yes.
Maybe Marcy will blow the shofar. And so we want to bless you, and we want you to know Jesus and to walk in the power and the love.
She's got something she wants to say, Melody.
We have 1 minute.
Okay, I just want to end with a scripture in Romans chapter 8, verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Hallelujah.
That's right. That's where it's supposed to be, in us. Okay,
in us.
Margie. Again?
She's got it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So as we close this program, we want you to remember that we're here because we love you, and we want to see you in the kingdom of God and growing by leaps and bounds through the Word of God. So we tell you to look up every week as we close the program. We tell you to look up because your redemption draweth nigh.
And we say Shabbat Shalom, Sabbath peace
and rest.
We are raising the standard.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at this same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.